Well, I couldn't resist sharing tonight about the kingdom of God again, one last time, at least for this turnaround. Kingdom of God is one of my favorite things to talk about because it's what we're living in and what we will live in for the rest of eternity. Forever, never, 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 never. The kingdom of God continues. Amen. I said the kingdom of God continues. Amen. We serve a king. And he is on the throne. Not for one moment let yourself be fooled that he's abdicated or took any kind of a compromise. He is solidly on the throne. And the word of God said, of his kingdom there will be no end. And you better take that to the bank. There won't be any end. We may have had some confusing times in this atmosphere that we're in this nation, but the kingdom of God continues worldwide. Some great strides are being made in the kingdom. How many know that? He is infiltrating and using dreams and visions to speak to imams, to Muslims, all over the world. They're seeing visions of Christ in their bedrooms. You know, they wake up at night and Christ is standing there and speaking to them, and they go seek out a church and people, and folks are being baptized all over the place, even at the threat of their own lives, being baptized and coming into the church. And so the kingdom of God carries the utmost importance in heaven as it does here. It was what Christ came to preach. It was what he asked us to preach. He asked us to preach the kingdom of God. It was what we are to convey to others, and it's what will work as we redo our generation. I mean, we need a reboot. It's like we've got too much clogging up the system. It's like your computer. It reaches a place where you just got to shut her down and reboot. How many have had to do that before? And all of a sudden, magically, it works. We've got to reboot and get back to the basics of the kingdom of God. When it is preached in all nations, the end will come. It's so very important that if you look it up, the word kingdom appears 127 times in the four Gospels. So tonight we'll just talk about Matthew, what Jesus says about the kingdom in the book of Matthew. Matthew 5:19. How am I doing, Roger? I give you enough time? Matthew 5:19 says this. You can look it up if you want. Matthew 5:19 and 20. Whoever therefore breaks one of the least of these commandments and teaches men to do so shall be called least in the kingdom of heaven. But whoever does and teaches them, he shall be called great in the kingdom of heaven. For I say to you that unless your righteousness exceeds the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees, you will by no means enter the kingdom of heaven. The kingdom has degrees, number one, in your notes. The kingdom has degrees of rewards and punishments. I know Pastor Terry was here a couple of months ago from Faith Outreach and talked about rewards and punishments in hell. How many know there's rewards and punishments in heaven? Punishments, things taken away. Everything will be tested as by fire. Yeah. Remedial heaven. You know, I said if there's summer school in heaven, I'll probably attend some of those classes. The commandments are to be obeyed, and not only obeyed, but taught. Somehow we've lost the temerity, we've lost the boldness to declare the truth like it's supposed to be declared. There's only one truth. How many know there's not many truths? We're not vying to be the best truth in and around the area. We only have one truth, and that's the gospel of Jesus Christ. The only truth. There's nothing else that meets that level. To do or to not to do will garner judgment from the king. That means our works will burn up, although we'll be saved as if by fire. Not only doing them, but teaching them as well, the scripture says. Whoever therefore breaks one of the least of these commandments and teaches men so. Now what's he mean by commandments? Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, strength, and mind. Love your neighbor as yourself. Serve and love even your enemy. Well, you know, we need to get back to that basic message of the gospel. As I've said so many times before, we're known more for what we hate than what we love. We need to tell people we love them. As long as they're breathing in and out, they have a chance to repent. I'm glad somebody wasted their time in speaking to me. Come on, how many had people that talked to you a lot before you made a commitment to Christ? You must have been worthy of something. I was about as worthy as a plug nickel. I mean, I didn't have much to offer anybody. I was so much in sin. But somebody not only obeyed the commandments to preach the kingdom of God, when they preached it to me, I was saved. Amen. We develop our own righteousness. That doesn't mean before you throw something at me, it doesn't mean that we're not the righteous of God in Christ, but how we live that life is our righteousness. We'll be judged by what we reflect from the inside. Ours is not like that of the Pharisees. It comes from the inside. The righteousness of the Pharisees, he said, in verse 20 of Matthew 5, it says, "For I say to you that unless your righteousness exceeds the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees," we can look good on the outside, but our inside is full of all kinds of stuff. We need to be righteous from the inside out. If not, the scripture says, we will by no means enter the kingdom of heaven. And I don't have time to go there tonight. Just let's make sure that we're toeing the line and obeying the scriptures so we don't have to worry about that. Come on, someone. I don't want there to have to be a convening of the minds of heaven to let me in. Can you hang on a minute? Let us look at your record. We'll get back to you. We want to be in Christ, amen. We want to have His righteousness. We want to be walking in His righteousness. I don't want to be questioning whether I can enter the kingdom of God or not, especially at this late stage. I'm an old guy. I'm vying for the gates of heaven. Older. Secondly, the kingdom of God takes precedence and must be acted on. The kingdom of God is not something that's stagnant. It's not a noun. The kingdom of God is a verb. The kingdom of God, when we speak it, it requires action. It's not just something that we say nicely, the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God is something that's active and moving forward. It's so prevalent and it's so important in our life, and it takes precedence in our life. In Matthew 6:33, it's one of the scriptures we talk about a lot, but seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. Now that's at the tail end of all the things he talked about. You can read it. But seek first the kingdom of God. That's the very first thing that we talk about in the morning. That's the very first thing that we do during the day. How is this going to affect my place in the kingdom of God? And what am I doing in my life to extend the kingdom of God? Because he said back there in Matthew 5:19, he says, not only do it, but teach it. So the whole of God's plan is that we not only walk in the kingdom of God, but we teach the kingdom of God. There's only one truth. There's only one basis for that truth, and that's in the kingdom. Luke 17:21 says, "Nor will they say, see here or see there, for indeed the kingdom of God is within you." So where are we seeking the righteousness of God and the kingdom of God? Right here. We're pushing that which is out of my bellies, Jesus said. Out of my belly will flow rivers of living water. Kingdom of God is within me. And so it's not rocket science. I just yield to the Spirit of God and speak the truth in every situation. I'm asking the Lord when to bring that up, because I know the next meeting we have, I'm talking about the school board meeting. We're talking about mental illness. And I wanted so much to talk about Jesus is the healer of mental illness. I wanted to talk about that so strongly. There wasn't a moment where I could, but I'm going to pray for me. I'm going to, because that's the truth. Children need to know that Jesus loves them. It's not just something religious we talk about. Jesus loves them. He died for them. Amen. I want to shape their hearts. Some of the things we talked about just broke my heart today, that children are coming. We're talking fifth and sixth, fourth, third, fourth, fifth, sixth graders. that are having mental illness, mental challenges. Their home life is a mess. Because demons are running their home life. They have demon-possessed parents. Come on, someone. Anybody that abuses your body like they do, you're possessed by demons. Breaks my heart. Which brings me to my next statement. The kingdom involves warfare. Matthew 11:12, Jesus told us the kingdom suffers violence and the violent take it by force. It's not fisticuffs. It's fighting the enemy and put him in his place. And we need to do that every day. We need to say at least one violent prayer a day. Devil, we're coming after you. All of your plans are frustrated. Pick up your weapons and flee from this place. We need to remind him every day who's in charge, and it ain't him. We need to tell him we're in charge. We're representing the kingdom. We're in charge. Come on, someone. Well, I don't know if I could say that, Pastor Rick. I mean, Jesus is in charge. Well, Jesus is working through you, my friend. The kingdom has its reward, the authority of God. When we speak in the presence of the place of God. But if I cast out demons by the Spirit of God, surely the kingdom of God has come upon you. Matthew 12:28. The kingdom has its reward. The reward that we have is we speak instead of Christ. I would like it if it works another way. I would love just to walk into a room and say, excuse me, Jesus wants to say something. And Jesus would appear and speak and then leave. And then I could answer questions. Anybody got any questions? Yeah, what did he mean by? But he's not doing that. Wouldn't that be neat? But when you feel that, listen to me, when you feel that unction in your heart to speak and you get an opening, that is Him coming in the room. That is Him, that is calling attention. Jesus is about to speak. And when you speak truth and Jesus is personified through that truth, He's embodied in that truth, He shows up in the room. You know it to be true. You've been in a room when somebody spoke or you spoke and every head turned and there's a silence that fell upon the place. They know, people know truth when they hear it. They might not like it, but they know truth when they hear it. Now we've got to speak that truth. The kingdom of God suffers violence and the violent take it by force and it has its reward. And that's the authority of God in us. Jesus says, the kingdom of God has come upon me as I cast out demons. When we take authority over the enemy, he has to go. Because why? We're taking authority in Jesus' name. It's not me taking the authority. It's Jesus taking the authority. He's just using me to speak it. And then the comparisons are many. Matthew 13:24 says this, the kingdom of heaven is like a man who sowed good seed in his field, but while men slept, his enemy came and sowed tares among the wheat and went his way. Verse 26 says, but when the grain had sprouted and produced a crop, then the tares also appeared. Notice they appeared after the maturity. So the servants of the owner came and said to him, sir, did you not sow good seed in your field? How then does it have tares? He said to them, an enemy has done this. The servant said to him, do you want us then to go and gather them up? But he said, no, lest while you gather up the tares, you also uproot the wheat with them. Let both grow together until the harvest, and at the end of time of the harvest, I will say to the reapers, first gather together the tares and bind them in bundles to burn them, but gather the wheat into my barn. A couple of the things I want to talk about. Satan is able to plant enemies in the kingdom, so that shouldn't stop the forward motion of the kingdom. Say, well, Satan can't sow any. According to this, he is able to sow enemies in the kingdom. But that shouldn't stop the forward motion of the kingdom. Jesus will sort it out at the end. The work, nature, and aim of the kingdom must continue despite enemies of the cross being planted. There will always be traitors, there will always be backstabbers, there will always be those kinds of people. Instead of the squeaky wheel getting the grease, just keep on going and what God told us to do. The Lord will remove the tares in good time. When I was, told this story when I first got here, but when I was in my little Assembly of God church, my home church, we met this guy out Christmas caroling. We were out Christmas caroling, and this guy kind of walked up. He goes, "Praise the Lord, it's good to see you guys out here. Can I join you in Christmas caroling?" We said, "Yeah, sure, come on." So he sang with us and hung with us. We all went, got hot chocolate afterwards, and we talked about the Lord. And the guy got involved with us, man. He'd come in on Sunday morning, and he'd stand up front, and he'd prophesy, and he'd interpret tongues and all sorts of things. And we were in a little mini revival. People were coming and all of that. And one day he turned around and he said, "I've never believed in Jesus. I was just faking it. I've all proved you're all fakes. You thought I was a Christian. I'm not a Christian." Out the door he went. It was a good lesson. Never saw him again. Good lesson. Good lesson. We need to have our discernment on. Those things will always happen. The enemy is not taking a vacation. He's going to attack, but let him attack. As a matter of fact, the more intense attacks, the higher we're probably going to be going. Come on, somebody. Jesus said, when they came and said, "Hey, did you sow tares among the wheat?" He goes, "It's none other than the enemy." He said, "What should we do?" He said, "Just leave it alone. When it comes time for harvest, we'll know who's the tares and who are the wheat." So when the harvest comes, we'll know. Many of movement has been stopped because we got scared of the enemy. Oh, how can that terrible thing happen? B, the kingdom of God grows. It cannot be stopped. How many know? The forward motion of the kingdom will never be stopped. Somebody say amen quick before you think about it. It will never be stopped. Watch what Matthew 13:31 says. Another parable he put forth to them, saying, "The kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed which a man took and sowed in his field, which indeed is the least of all the seeds. But when it is grown, it is greater than the herbs and becomes a tree, so that the birds of the air come and nest in its branches." The kingdom of God will continue to grow despite all attacks, despite all negativity, despite what we think is post-Christian era and all that gobbledygook and mental gymnastics that people do. God is not surprised, nor is he flummoxed because of the things that are happening. He said he would build his kingdom. He said of the increase of his kingdom, there will be no end. That settles it. It's going to happen. We need to be, obey the word of God, not worry about if the glass is half empty or the glass is half full. Good news is the glass can be filled. Come on. The kingdom of God is beyond valuable. The kingdom of God is beyond valuable. Price tag heaven. Heaven says it's more than valuable. I didn't say that. We didn't put the price tag on it. Heaven said, watch what verse 44 says in the same chapter. "Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a treasure hidden in a field, which a man found and hid. And for joy over it, he goes and sells all that he has and buys the field. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant seeking beautiful pearls, who when he had found one pearl of great price, went and sold all that he had and bought it." What's that say to us? Everything is worth the kingdom. Every relationship, every job, every career, everything comes secondary and should be submitted to that. That goal is to extend the kingdom of God. It's the most important thing that we'll ever do. It's the only thing that will be recognized in glory. Nobody in heaven is going to ask us how much money we made or how popular we were. By the way, how popular, how many likes did you get on Facebook? Well, you have a special place over there. The only thing that's going to be recognized is what did we do for the kingdom of God? Beyond valuable is the kingdom. The kingdom of God attracts every manner of person. Let them come. Jesus never said we were exclusive. Not everyone will be the way we want them to be. God will work it out. All kinds of people will be attracted. When revival happens, all kinds of, it's like the Walmart people that you hear about. You just get people from every walk of life that'll come. But God loves them. Watch what verse 47 says. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a dragnet that was cast into the sea and gathered some boys, and they worked on that sound system. Isn't that nice? Can you tell the difference Sunday on the sound system? Turns out the speakers weren't working and they turned that on, and man, it's loud. Now you can turn me down a little bit. It's hot. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a dragnet that was cast into the sea and gathered some of every kind, which when it was full, they drew to shore, and they set on and gathered the good into the vessels, but threw the bad away. So it will be at the end of the age. The angels will come forth, separate the wicked from among the just, and cast them into the furnace of fire. There'll be wailing and gnashing of teeth. The kingdom of God will attract everyone. Not everyone will qualify, but it'll attract everyone. We'll leave all that to sort it out. The king will sort out the kingdom. Our job is to extend the kingdom. Not everyone will be the way we want them to be. I get very nervous around people that are different from me. Sometimes. Very different. Come on, someone. Meet somebody. I was to a concert and I went to the back and I started talking to the sound guy. And the sound guy, they hired him, and he had one of these big boards that was about as big as that back row back there. It was just long, and he was pushing buttons and everything. He got to a place where he could talk, and I was talking to him. He wasn't part of the Christian band that was playing. He was hired when they come into an area. Instead of carrying all that equipment, they hire people to come in. And he had long hair down to here, you know, and he had tats all over the place, and he just... holy jeans, and I just made a judgment. I thought, this guy maybe needs Jesus. And he told me a story about being in a car with some of the band from, I believe it was AC/DC or Black Sabbath, I can't remember. And they were traveling together, and he was talking about eternal life. He says, I wonder where we go when we die. And these guys were talking about, well, there's nothing at the end, or, you know, I'm going to go to hell and party. And then he was able to tell them about Jesus. Here this guy was saved, but I had made a judgment call that this guy was, you know, needed salvation. And here God had placed him in a ministry that he got to go where all these bands went, secular bands, and witness to them. In a car driving I think he said there were 6 hours in a car, and he just asked that question, and the next 6 hours they all talked about eternity. Where do we go when we die? You know, while they're smoking their dope and having their fun. He wasn't, but I mean. Every manner of person is attracted to the kingdom. And we just need to let God flesh it out. People are going to be different from us. In this revival that's coming, people are going to come. They're going to be different from us. They're going to have different things that they like. I want someone. Some of the Christian music some of these young people like is like, that I will not put on my phone when I'm running. I just won't do it. It would cause me to run off a cliff somewhere. But it's glorifying Jesus, see? And that's the end product. Not everyone will be the way we want. The kingdom is divine authority. Now you think about the divine, it's one thing to say we have authority, it's another thing to say divine authority. Watch what he says in Matthew 16:19, and I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. How many know when somebody gives you the keys to their home and they say, come and go as you please, I'm going to be gone for the next 6 weeks, you just come and go as you please. How many know that's an honor? Somebody gives you the keys to their house, that's an honor. Watch what Jesus does. He says, I'll give you the keys of the kingdom. Come in and go out, find pasture. Do what you want. Take anything you need to extend the kingdom. It's all open to you. And whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. That's divine authority. And everyone in this room has it. Everyone in this building right now that calls on the name of Jesus has that authority. I hear us talk about all the time about how much power the enemy has. He doesn't have any power unless we give it to him. We have the power. We have the authority. It's divine authority. That means when we speak, there's no addendums, there's no questions, and if you're anything like me, sometimes when I'm in a real rough place and I'm battling spiritually, I'm asking God, is this going to work? And it's the most ridiculous question I can ask him. Of course it's going to work. Have you ever caught yourself doing that? God, I'm doing everything that you... Do you think this will work? God said, yeah, I gave you the formula to overcome. I gave you the keys to the kingdom. Everything that I have is yours. Use it. Man, that's powerful stuff. That's powerful stuff. That's kingdom. That's the kingdom we live in. We're just in Matthew. We haven't even got to Mark, Luke, and John. We're just in Matthew, and he's telling us what authority we have, what we're able to overcome, what we're able to do. Man, if we ever got a hold of this completely as a generation again, I'm convinced. Once the gospel of the kingdom has been preached throughout the world, Jesus said, then the end comes. That's what we need to be praying, that the kingdom of God is preached. Not just that Jesus saves, I get that, we need to preach salvation. We need to preach not only are you saved, but now you rule and reign with Christ. Divine authority. Watch what Luke 10:9 says. Heal the sick there and say to them, the kingdom of God has come near to you. How do you know? If God tells us we can do something, He's not teasing us. He says, heal the sick will be healed. We say, well, we haven't seen much of it. I don't know the answer to that. The older I get, the more I say, I don't know. But I know the Word of God, what the Word of God says. The Word of God says, heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse the lepers. Freely you have received, freely give. So I just got to do that. I can shut every time I lay hands on somebody, I believe they're healed. Every time I do it, I believe they're healed in Jesus' name. Because that's what He said. I can't argue with that. I can't say, God, I wonder if this will... I'll pray in Your name, but are You going to show up? Jesus, are You here? Or we pray a prayer, Lord, if You can hear me. He doesn't have miracle ears. He doesn't have those little things you shut off when you don't want to hear anybody. That's where faith comes in. Right. Well, that helps us, but he's never hard of hearing. Anytime we name the name of Jesus, He's right here. Divine authority. We have divine authority. We have divine authority. It's us. It's us. It ain't nobody else. We're not waiting for somebody to come. Somebody with long thing after them, master of divinity, master of masters, and all of that. Oh, this is the man of God or the woman of God that's going to get it done. No, they're not. No, they're not. You know, I'm not picking on Joel Osteen. I just saw a thing on, interview on TV with him. News was interviewing him. And he said, what's your yearly budget? Because he doesn't take any money from the church. He gets all his money from his books. So anything that comes in the church, he doesn't take a salary. He does that for free, him and his wife. And they said, how much money does the church take in a year? He said, $90 million budget. $90 million is a typical year. Can you imagine what the kingdom of God could do in Houston, Texas with $90 million? Wow. Come on, somebody. That's crazy money. I mean, hey, get out there and preach the kingdom. Don't tell everybody they're okay. Do something. Win a soul. Tell somebody to grow up. Come on, someone. That's just me. That's a lot of money. Of course, I quickly prayed, God, if You gave New Life $90 million, we'd be... Well, we promised to... This is no message of struggle or defeat. It's a message of victory. For the kingdom of heaven is like a landowner who went out early in the morning to hire laborers for his vineyard. In Matthew 21, you can read that, 20 verse 1. You can read that. You know that story. He went out hired people in the morning, hired people in the mid-morning, in the afternoon, in the mid-afternoon, and late evening. The ones he hired in late evening had just worked an hour or so. He paid as much as when he went out early morning. It's not about struggle, it's about victory. Christ is wanting to win souls. Late date, early date, he doesn't care. Deathbed, when they're done. He is out to win souls, and so should we. This is not a message of who's going to be the best. It's a message of getting the Word of God out there. The kingdom of God is for everyone. The kingdom of God is for everyone. The message is to give to all, but all will not receive the message again. All will not receive the message. You can read about it in the parable Matthew 22. Two, the kingdom of heaven is like a certain king who arranged a marriage for his son and sent out his servants to call those who were invited to the wedding, and they were not willing to come. And finally he says, just go out into the hedges and the highways and compel them to come in. That's how desperate heaven is for the lost soul. Whatever it takes, get the message out there. The message is to be given to all. Some for their demise and their destruction, others to their victory. I'm glad I don't have to flesh that out. I just preach the gospel, get them saved, and let the Holy Spirit take care of it. I can't tell what's in men's hearts. I can just trust that what they're saying is true. Amen? We need discernment, all that. I understand that. But I can't read in the Word of God where it says to judge people on the way in. Preach the gospel and let Jesus take care of it. When it is preached the way it was intended, the command will be complete. The end will come. And that's what our goal is. I don't know about you, but I've been told since I was first saved, we are the generation that will usher in the kingdom of God. How many have been told that? I don't know what other generations, if they were told the same thing. I don't even know if that, I believe with all my heart it will happen, but if it doesn't, that doesn't mean that I'm supposed to stop doing it. Because it's not for me to know the times and the seasons. Either way, I get to see it, either from a front row seat in heaven or here laboring on earth. Can you imagine being in heaven and watching that all take place on the earth? Yeah, what a bird's eye view. The kingdom of God is not food and drink, but righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. That righteousness comes from serving God. That righteousness comes from trusting God and learning from Him that when we get in situations where we're supposed to speak, that is the eternal ramifications when we obey. Everything else is secondary. Doesn't matter what kind of car we drive or who we're married to or any of that. It's how we extend that kingdom in our lives. I thank God for the privilege of serving Him. Think about that. We're serving Almighty God. Not only serving, but we carry with us the presence of God so that when we speak, something happens. I hope you're doing it. I hope you're reminding yourself and implementing that. Man, so I was in a board meeting today since they didn't give me a time to speak, I just began to pray. And I saw the conversation start to take a spiritual tint. And so it set me up for this next time we're gonna be together, and I'm going to let her fly. So if I get myself in trouble, God will get me out of it. Amen? So, Father, I thank You for the kingdom. I thank You, Lord, that You've called us, my friends, to serve in that kingdom. Lord, not only to serve, be Your servants, but to be partakers in Your glory. God, it's much different than being hired to be a servant to serve You the rest of our lives and not see anything. No, You said we go lay hands on the sick, they recover. We go preach the kingdom of God and see changes. Lord, all those things are promises for each one of us, no matter what age or where we're at. Father, thank You for the privilege of speaking Your word. Like apples of gold and settings of silver is a word fitly spoken in due time. But Lord, we're called to do that. Father, help us. Fill our mouth with your word. Father, fill our hearts with your word so that whatever we come across, many of us, some of us are going and visiting family in the next few weeks, God, and what we speak, Lord, you've told me to speak certain things to my daughter when I see her again. What I speak would go right to the heart of the situation. God, to see lives change. We're not going to take that lie from the enemy that says our words are meaningless. Our words are very purposefully shaped by you. And God, when we speak that word, things change. Lord, again, we lift up those that are walking in darkness, those of our own family, friends, neighbors. God, help us to take the right moment and speak your word into each situation. We thank you for all those that will serve you as a result. Lord, thank you for revival. Thank you, Lord, that you're stirring up this area, Father, as you are this nation. God, you're at work behind the scenes. You're always extending your kingdom. Show that to us and what part we're to play in it. And I give you the praise and the honor and the glory in Jesus' name. Amen.